I wonder if you can think of times in your life when your walk with God seemed to be going great. But I wonder, even in those times, do you recall experiencing temptation toward compromise? Today on the Wisdom Journey, we're looking at the life of King Jehoshaphat. He was a godly example of following the Lord, but his life is also a warning that the pressures of life and the temptation to compromise are always present. This lesson is called Standing Strong, Staying Alert.
As the book of 1 Kings came to an end in our last study in the Wisdom Journey, we met Jehoshaphat in that account of Ahab and that very brief mention of Ahab's son Ahaziah in 1 Kings 22. Now, the book of 2 Chronicles, the parallel account, actually gives us some more details about this king. In fact, four entire chapters of this book, chapters 17 through 20, are devoted to Jehoshaphat. So let's go over now to this parallel account and take a closer look. Now, as I've said before, we're covering the events in Kings and Chronicles chronologically. They repeat so much of the same material. So when we finish the two books of Kings, we also will have covered the two books of Chronicles. Now, Jehoshaphat is the son of Judah's king, Asa. He had followed the Lord. He had urged his people to do the same, and Asa's reign was, however, plagued by conflict with Israel to the north. When his son now comes to the throne, we're told in verse 1 of 2 Chronicles chapter 17 that he strengthened himself against Israel. That is, he's fortifying Judah's cities. He's stationing troops throughout the land. And Jehoshaphat is given a glowing commendation here in verse 3. The Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the earlier ways of his father David. He did not seek the Baals, but sought the God of his father and walked in his commandments and not according to the practices of Israel. We're told here in verse 6 that he took the high places and the Asherim out of Judah. Those were the wooden poles representing the mistress of Baal, usually set up right next to the altar to Baal. Jehoshaphat, we're told, also sent some of his officials along with Levites and priests throughout the land to begin teaching the people God's law. I got to tell you, God's people couldn't have asked for a better king. Under his rule, Judah will enjoy peace and prosperity. And as we see in verses 10 and 11, he's also going to have a strong army. When it seems to be going so well, right here in the middle of chapter 18 and verse 1, we read that he made a marriage alliance with Ahab. In other words, he arranges to have his son marry Ahab's daughter, Athaliah. Now, why in the world would he do that? That makes his son's mother-in-law Jezebel, and that can't be good either. Well, no doubt King Jehoshaphat saw some strategic political advantages to this alliance. He was motivated primarily by these political desires. This decision almost cost Jehoshaphat his life. We saw earlier when he went to war in support of King Ahab against the Syrians. Chapter 18 recounts that episode, and we've already covered it back in 1 Kings chapter 22. Now, chapter 19 here in 2 Chronicles begins with a prophet named Jehu. He shows up and he rebukes King Jehoshaphat after his return from battle against the Syrians there with Ahab. Remember, this is the battle in which King Ahab was killed. Well, now here in verse 2, the prophet Jehu says, "Should you help the wicked and love those who hate the Lord? Because of this, wrath has gone out against you from the Lord. Nevertheless, some good is found in you, for you destroyed the Asheroth out of the land, and you've set your heart to seek God." Frankly, that pretty much sums up Jehoshaphat's reign. He sought the Lord, he had a godly walk, but he also made some unwise decisions that were driven by political incentive. Well, this rebuke must have provoked in him a change of heart because he begins a second round of reforms. We read here in verse 4 that Jehoshaphat went out again among the people and brought them back to the Lord, the God of their fathers. He also appointed judges throughout the land and tells them here in verse 6, "Consider what you do, for you judge not for man, but for the Lord. He is with you in giving judgment." Likewise, he appoints judges to serve here in Jerusalem, perhaps in some form of a higher court, a supreme court. His charge to them here in verse 9 is this, "Thus you shall do in the fear of the Lord, in faithfulness, and with your whole heart." When I was asked to speak at the installment of the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court here in my home state, he asked me to speak from this same text. It happened to be his life verse. He wanted to be one of those godly judges who did what was right, judging not so much in the sight of man, but in the sight of God, and he certainly did. Now, chapter 20 of 2 Chronicles further highlights the faith of King Jehoshaphat, which is now suddenly challenged by a military threat. Verse 1 tells us that the Moabites, Ammonites, and some tribes called the Munites come up out of Edom to battle against him. And Judah here is vastly outnumbered. Jehoshaphat proclaims a time of fasting and praying. He calls the people to assemble in the courtyard of the temple, and there the king stands and prays to the Lord before all the people. I want you to listen to what he prays beginning here in verse 6. "O Lord, God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. In your hand are power and might, so that none is able to withstand you. Did you not, our God, drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? And now behold, the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came from the land of Egypt, and whom they avoided and did not destroy, behold, they reward us by coming to drive us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. O our God, will you not execute judgment on them? For we are powerless against this great horde that is coming against us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you." Wow, what a prayer. Have you ever prayed like that? Well, I'm sure you have if you know the Lord. "Lord, I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you." Well, a prophet of God comes along here in verse 15 and responds, "Thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid and do not be dismayed at this great horde, for the battle is not yours, but God's. You will not need to fight in this battle. Stand firm, hold your position, and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf." Well, Jehoshaphat acts in faith, and the next day goes out with his army. Verse 21, in fact, tells us that he sends the Levites out ahead of them, singing praise to the Lord. So how's that for a military strategy? You know, just send out the choir first, and then watch what God does. Well, God acts. Just as God promises, he confuses this massive army. He does the fighting, essentially, and they end up destroying each other. King Jehoshaphat is rightly commended by Scripture as a godly man. He was a man of great faith. His desire was to follow the Lord and lead others to do the same. At the same time, he allowed political pressure to drive him to make some unwise, some compromising decisions. So he becomes for us today both a warning to stay alert, recognizing that Satan's temptations, well, they come in all kinds of shapes and sizes. But Jehoshaphat also serves to encourage us, even when we fail the Lord, even when we make unwise decisions, and we will. God in his grace continues to forgive us and guide us and allow us to walk with Him and to serve Him. Well, we've got to stop here for today. Until next time, beloved, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
I pray that God will use the life and example of King Jehoshaphat to encourage and challenge you today. Temptation is always close at hand, and when we fail, God always offers forgiveness. Thanks for joining us today on this lesson along the wisdom journey. Stephen Davey called this lesson, Standing Strong, Staying Alert. I'm glad you're listening to this podcast. But if you'd enjoy watching the video version of this lesson, be sure and subscribe to the Wisdom International YouTube channel. Join us again next time as we continue sailing along the wisdom journey.